Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. And here alongside of Carl Middleman and Kim St. Ange and Sue Thomas, we'll have the latest on any road problems this morning. Some of it's going to be caused by some flooding. It appears, a lot of that may be in northern Jefferson County, down around Eureka. I know they might have some road closures for you down there you're going to have to watch out for. Highway W in Jefferson County still closed. And it's starting to encroach maybe a little bit down there at Eureka High School. So Merrimack River levels are rising, and that seems to be one of the issues that we're keeping an eye on for you this morning. It's not affecting traffic on 44 at this point, and I don't know if we're going to have to worry about that or not. I guess we'll see how high the water gets.
Was it 141 and 44 that's already been shut down? But that area, I'm pretty sure, is always, anytime there's a significant amount of rain and you're dealing with flood concerns, rising levels, that area gets impacted.
Yeah, correct. So we'll be keeping an eye on that for you. We're live on Facebook and X and Rumble and YouTube this morning. All four of them. I have carrying the show live up there. The good news, if you're just waking up, if you're just joining us this morning at 6:08 a.m. here, the map has now been updated. Nevada and Arizona went for Donald Trump. Now, Nevada is a flip, clearly. Arizona is a flip. The Hill has called those. Not all of the reporting agencies have called them, which is kind of odd since Fox was the first one to call Arizona 4 years ago. I thought too early. I'll still continue to say that. But they did. They called it early, and it kind of ended the race right at that point. But the entire, every swing state went to Donald Trump. Every single one now. There's no doubt about it. Just take a look at that map. And somebody pointed out to me that if you looked at the Real Clear Politics average projection for the Electoral College back in July, like July 29th, it looked identical to this final map back on July 29th, which would have been right after the convention, right? Hmm. Right before one of the conventions and right after Kamala Harris got the endorsement.
That's interesting. I think next election, yeah, I'm going to give more weight to betting sites like Polymarket, even over some of these polls, because they were closer in the actual outcome of the election. And I think it's because you're getting a better picture of people who are actually putting money on it, right? When you go out and you call somebody and say, hey, who are you planning to vote for? Well, how do you know they're telling the truth? How do you know that they might say, hey, I'm not going to participate in this? They might not pick up the call.
Yeah.
I think Polymarket might be a little bit more accurate.
I'm just telling you. Go to any sports game and look at the line and then look at the score afterwards. It's uncanny how accurate they are. So maybe that's the new model going forward. when you're allowed to sports bet in Missouri, just understand that. For some reason, they know what the outcome of the game is going to be. I don't know how they do that, but they do it. Let's put it that way. All right, lots coming up. We're going to talk more about the possibility of the Republicans holding the House, flipping the Senate and holding on to the majority in the House. The Hill's got them at 212 right now. They need 218. The Democrats are still back at 197. So we'll see what happens here. We're hopeful. We'll talk to Breon Wells about that coming up next. First, here's a look at this morning's shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Woo, look at that. She has not given up. She gave her concession speech yesterday, 10, 12 minutes, and she's like, listen, I am not giving up the fight, but my guess is we've seen the last of Kamala Harrison.
I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time, but for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case.
Well, I mean, actually, it could have been a lot worse if you'd won. It would have been a darker time for most of America, in my personal opinion. I don't know. Some people took part of her message yesterday as a bit of a veiled threat or to encourage people to go out and protest.
Once Donald Trump is inaugurated, we go forward and maybe we have something that passes so that we can have a blanket federal election process that every state abides by.
How about that? Laura Trump talking about trying to change the federal election process because right now it's up to all 50 states to do it differently, which is why in some cases results don't come in for 2 or 3 days.
I've been very vocal about that. We've already worked on a couple of that, those plans today. And within the next few minutes, I'll be meeting with future pro tem in the Senate, Cindy O'Loughlin, and Speaker John Patterson to just work on our priorities.
Yeah, that was the governor-elect there, Mike Kehoe. He got on the air with Mark Reardon yesterday afternoon to talk more about his plans. Now, anything involving Cindy O'Loughlin will probably not be successful. That's Mark's opinion. But he did meet with her yesterday and the new speaker to talk about what the priority should be for the legislature this year. You want to know what they were talking about there? Eliminating income taxes in the state of Missouri. Now, this has been a conservative dream for a long time.
Yeah, I remember Bill Igel talking about that a lot.
Yeah, remember when they told Igel he was nuts when he said he wanted to eliminate the state income tax? Now the incoming governor seems to have embraced that. He says he's been in favor for a long time. But, of course, the question comes in, where does the money come from when you do that? And because, obviously, you've got to replace most of that income somewhere. I mean, we have a bigger budget in Missouri than they do in the People's Republic of Illinois, where they have double the population.
I just think there's a lot of wasteful spending here on the state level and the federal level. Yeah. You know, you talk about Elon Musk telling Trump that he believes he can find $2 trillion that is essentially wasteful spending. That should be easy. I could probably go in there and tell you all the stupid things that we're wasting money on, and I know it's not that simple, but there's so many programs that it's ridiculous that we're putting money into this.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things Kehoe promises to focus on is the tax issue. The other question I thought that was the most interesting yesterday was his answer to the one on crime. And what do you do about that? I don't think he directly answered whether or not he would push for a takeover of the St. Louis Police Department again by the state.
He said he supported the state control.
State control.
He does support that, yeah.
This was his response yesterday when asked what he plans to do about crime.
We as a country, and for sure as a state, and St. Louis as a region, needs to make it easier to be a cop than a criminal.
Yes.
We've had those roles reversed for quite some time, and I've already talked to leaders in the St. Louis area this morning, and they know it's a priority for me. Absolutely. I am not surprised at the vote in California, even given their kind of left-leaning ways that they have out there, because it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, whether you're from an economic background of very much success or a poor economic background like I'm from, North St. Louis City, people just think they understand right and wrong here in Missouri. And in California, I'm thankful that they do, too, that we need to stop coddling criminals. We need to put them away. We need to get our streets safer. That's how neighborhoods grow. That's how businesses grow. It's a fundamental 101 of what I want to get done.
Yeah, there you go. Well, maybe we can use all of that $100 million guaranteed we're going to get from sports gaming to offset the income tax.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's guaranteed to go to schools, except it could be zero. I don't know why I'm still talking about that. The election is apparently over. There may be a recount on that issue, in case you didn't hear that, but there was a 4,000 vote gap. Mm-hmm. And recounts simply mean recounting the votes that are already there. And a 4,000 vote error would be a major problem. So my point is, it's not going to get overturned, I do not believe. Coming up, we will talk more about the likelihood of Republicans holding the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi pretty much guaranteed Democrats were going to get control back, and that doesn't appear to be the case. We'll talk to Breon Wells when we come back.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I came upon the child of God. He was walking along.
We don't have a perfect system right now. We had to get through this system and we had to play the hand that we were dealt. You have election season now instead of election day, and a lot of nuance around the country that makes it very confusing and really concerning for a lot of people. Yes, maybe now is the time, once Donald Trump is inaugurated, we go forward and maybe we have something that passes so that we can have a blanket federal election process that every state abides by, and we feel really good about it all across the country. Every American deserves to know that in the United States, when you cast a vote, your vote matters and your vote counts.
Yeah. Laura Trump there suggesting a change in the federal election process. I don't know how much ground that gains or not. I mean, I kind of like the fact that states have a little bit of control over how the election going. But there's frustration that, you know, Florida has its results out at 8:30 or 9 o'clock on election night. And some states, it takes them 3 or 4 days. Like, why? Come on. If Florida can do it, you can do it. So that's kind of been my frustration with that. Now it's to the question of what happens in Congress. Breon Wells is joining us right now. He's a nonpartisan policy advisor. And, of course, he's been talking a lot about criminal justice reform, voting rights, foreign relations, all that stuff. Breon, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So the lead here seems to be, will the Republicans keep the House? Because there's never been a double flip of the Senate and the House in a general election like this, right?
That's right. It's been quite some time. And so what we are seeing right now is that the Senate, of course, as you know, has been called for the Republicans. They were able to successfully flip the Senate. And then the House seems to be trending towards the Republican Party maintaining the House, but we'll see. There's still about 19 states that have not been called, seats, in the House that have not been called.
Yeah, so the Hill this morning shows the Republicans with 212 seats. They need 218 for the majority. So they are only 6 seats away from maintaining their majority. And I guess there's some indication they could exceed that, right?
There is some indication that they could exceed that. Although the broader number, actually, you know, the magical number was 218.
Right.
And they are, as of last night, we're about 10 seats shy of that number. But we'll see what happens. There's still some seats in California, a seat in Oregon, and some others that are out there that are in play.
Yeah.
So it's either way you put it, there is going to be a tight margin, I think, that either party, if they win, is going to be dealing with.
If the Republicans have taught us anything, it is that having a one or two seat majority in the House is not enough to effectively govern, because, you know, they fight over their majority leader there in the House. And if one or two people withhold their votes, they have to look to potentially drafting Democrats to get done what they want done.
Absolutely, that's true. And actually, to put it in the broader context, this is something that is not a feature of just one party. We can remember even when, you know, Barack Obama was president, you had Nancy Pelosi sitting as the Speaker of the House, and the 50 Shades of Blue were struggling about what to do with the Affordable Care and how to make health care more affordable. That Affordable Care Act was only pushed through after a lot of the 50 Shades of Blue. So typically, you want to move for a governable, to your point, number. Yeah. And that number is usually around a 10 to 15 seat differential.
Woo! And it doesn't appear that either side would have that big of a margin, right? I mean, even if the Democrats were to pull off a minor miracle, they've got a long way to go just to get to 218.
No, absolutely. That's true. And I think to the point that you all had the conversation earlier about being able to have discourse, really, you know, after election cycles, in some ways, this is what we ask our elected officials to do. Is especially and particularly when it's a very close margin, they have to come together, have conversation, and figure it out for what's the best for the policy of the public, or what we call public policy.
Yeah, it's true. Breon, how can people find out more about what you're doing these days?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter at RealDaniel24. You can find me on Instagram at the letter I, the letter M, Breon Wells. And, of course, our website is www.thedanielinitiative.org.
Very appreciate it. Breon, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, they're never going to get along on issues like the border, right? So Republicans, if they've only got a one or two vote majority in the House, are going to have to vote as a block and get some stuff done and take advantage of holding all three levers of power in the U.S. Capitol. No doubt about it. Tom Ackerman joined us in studio in a few minutes. He's taking on some new duties. We'll talk to him about it.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, we welcome in Tom Ackerman, who we've just found out is going to be the new TV voice of the St. Louis Billikens basketball team.
Oh,
congratulations.
Oh my gosh,
on
thank
that,
you.
Man. That's
I
great.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's cool. They asked me to do that, and of course I said yes. And it's, you know, you always want to be the voice of a team, and I got to do the women's games on radio for the last several years, and I've gotten very close to St. Louis University, and I've known and covered the basketball team my entire time at KMOX, going back to Charlie Spoonhour days. So it's nice to be affiliated with SLU basketball. I think it's a fun product. They lost their first game to Santa Clara, a really good Santa Clara team that's going to win a ton of games this year.
Right.
So really no shame in that. Santa Clara might be the tallest team they face all year, too. I think they'll be good. You know, Robbie Avila's out for a couple of weeks with another sprained ankle, but once he bounces back from that, they will be tough to deal with. He's already a National Player of the Year watch list candidate. He's on that list. And SLU doesn't get many of those. I mean, Larry Hughes, maybe.
So they play Sunday, right?
They play Sunday
at
3.
So that'll be your first game.
That'll be my first game. So it'll air on FanDuel Sports Network. I appreciate it. Yeah, Billikens are a fun product. Come see it. Come see it.
Hey, what happened to Travis Ford? Did he end up in another program?
You know, I have not heard him taking another job. Now, okay. He still had some money left on that contract, so perhaps, you know, he's financially okay to kind of, a lot of coaches do that. Konzo Martin did that, was able to sit out after Mizzou let him go for a couple of years, and now he's back coaching Missouri State. I would anticipate that Travis, even though he may be stepping away from coaching for a while, I recall him saying or hearing something along those lines, you can't take the coach, you know, out of a guy. And I think, you know, you get the itch to get back into it. But he'd be really good at anything he wants to do. If he wanted to be somebody's top assistant, if he wanted to be a broadcaster, or if he wanted to get back to coaching D1 basketball. But he's been a coach a long time, Travis. long time.
Well, I know like, that when they let me go here, I'm going to take my $2 million buyout and probably just go hang out on a lake somewhere.
Yeah. No, you're going to go buy a player for Kentucky. You're going to give it for NIL. You're going to give them some NIL money.
I'm going to switch the conversation away from Kentucky. Hey, you did play-by-play for the Battlehawks game. I mean, obviously, this is very different with it being basketball, and it just moves much quicker. What is that like? Because that just seems like such a tough job because you just have to catch so much.
In basketball?
Well, just any play-by-play, but especially a game like basketball where it's moving so quickly.
I appreciate it. The one thing I have not done in a long time is hockey, actually. And hockey is a different kind of flow to it. They all have a different flow. You know, baseball comes in bursts, pitch and a hit, and then you have to talk and tell a story. Although baseball has moved a lot faster because of the pitch clock. From when I used to call games before the pitch clock to now, there's a huge difference. I mean, you really have to be ready to go. And there's a lot to describe and watch out there and pay attention to when it comes to baseball. Football comes in bursts. There's a play that runs like 6 or 7 seconds at most. And then there's a lot of prep time and talking and alignment and things to explain. And then, boom, and there's another play. And you have to be ready for everything. I think in football, that was a blast to do that with Mike Martz because that's how it all started for me was football. So it was like riding a bike, getting back on. It felt so good to do a football game again. Basketball, I've done more than any other sport. So I've been doing basketball since college when I did Indiana on the student station. I did Mizzou radio backing up Mike Kelly. And then the Missouri Valley Conference hired me about 20 years ago to do games on TV. So I've done games and traveled all over doing games for them for a long time. And basketball is like the sport that I played the most also. So it is, I can see some things as a player and now a coach of youth basketball has even opened my eyes even more to things. So I'm not like predicting the play, but really it just comes down to following the ball. I think radio, it's much more descriptive and harder because you have to, dribbles with his left hand, throws to the left post, back out, three, no good, rebound. Like, you have to explain everything that's going on. Whereas TV, you guys can see that already.
That's so a big difference, too.
I mean, I don't have to tell you that they made it.
Yeah.
Like, you saw that. They made it. You just have to be able to, provide the punch and the energy and the excitement and explain to people what's going on. And then you're also the quarterback for the entire telecast. So you have all these people in the control room or the TV truck. You have an analyst. You have a sideline reporter. You have cameras. And you're just, part of the orchestra. Mm-hmm. But you're sort of leading everybody.
You're kind of conducting it. Yeah, you're making sure it continues going on.
And then, and they're handing you things to read, like promos and commercials and things like that. So there's a lot more going on TV from that standpoint, rather than describing the action itself. But, you're definitely on top of everything that happens. You got to explain to the viewer the ball went out of bounds off of who, the foul is on who, So yeah, you got to be on your game. But I think it's just routine. Once you get into it, you figure it out.
And you have to be able to emotionally detach yourself from it when there's a controversial play. You can't say, well, clearly the officials are wrong here.
Like Bob Ramsey?
Yeah.
The worst call I've ever seen. No, I will be a little homerish because I am the SLU, TV broadcaster. So I'll be pro SLU. Now, when I'm doing a Valley game, obviously I'm down the middle. I'm enthusiastic for both sides. But yeah, I'll bring a little extra spice when it comes to SLU because this is a SLU broadcast.
Yeah.
What an idiot. That was awful.
But on TV, I probably wouldn't do that as much as be excited when SLU does something great and maybe a little down when it doesn't go well. Criticizing the officials is something that I will occasionally question an official, but I wouldn't. It's not in my nature to go the Bob Ramsey route, which I love. It's like tradition. Every year he has a handful of calls that are the worst he has ever seen. The worst call I have ever seen.
As a basketball announcer.
You could never do play-by-play for Kentucky.
No, I could do it for another team, but not
in a ball upset if you didn't like the call.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you expect in for Mizzou this weekend, football-wise?
I'll be there. I expect a great football game. I think two teams that have really disappointed this year, Oklahoma way more than Missouri. Now, Missouri is 6-2. They have a chance to make it a special year.
Is Brady Cook playing?
I don't know. I don't know if he is. That Eli Drinkwitz announced yesterday that if he's not able to go, they're going to go with Drew Pine. And that means that they're just going to have to be better on the offensive line. I think this really comes down to line play. They have not blocked well. They haven't protected the quarterback well. They haven't run the ball well. You know, they've got to execute on offense, and it starts with the offensive line. You got to give the quarterback time to throw, give the receivers time to run their routes. So that's been an issue for them. Really, the offensive execution has been poor. But you know what? There's still a lot of games left, and they could make it interesting. They are ranked 24th in the college football playoff. It would take a miracle, I think, for them to get into the top 12, but technically they're eligible and in it still.
Right, and they're almost guaranteed. I mean, they are guaranteed at this point, even finishing the season. If they what are there, three games left?
Four.
Yeah. If they finish 2-2 or 3-1, they're going to be playing in a bowl somewhere.
Right, they won't be in the playoff. If they run the table, they would need some help, but they can't lose again. But yeah, regardless, they're going to play in a nice bowl.
Yeah.
All right, I got to go do a sports cast.
All right, see you, buddy.
How about what?
I was going to say, how about those Indiana Hoosiers? Where are they ranked?
How about those Indiana
Hoosiers? All of a sudden, Tom has more time. He's like, I will blow it off to talk about Indiana.
I do have to go. They're ranked 8th in the country.
Awesome.
Wilson Contreras going to be the Cardinals' first baseman next year.
Interesting.
Yeah, big story.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate
you know what
that.
We didn't talk about that Carl, I know, is very excited about is it's country night tonight at the Blues game.
Oh, yeah. Carl, how are you dressing up?
Country music.
No one can see me, so I'm going to be dressed warmly.
So if I went to the game tonight, which I'm not going, and requested Van Halen, you can't do that. You have to play country all night.
Van Halen has a couple country-tinged songs, but no, it's going to be nothing but Brooks and Dunn and Luke Bryan.
Are you going to play Beyonce's fake non-country song that she claims is country?
I might.
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Utah Hockey Club.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes, it's the first, because, you know, Utah and the Mormons are so much known for their country music.
Yeah.
When I think Mormons, I think country music.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
Well, you know, their basketball team's the Jazz.
I did not know that.
Because they stole it from New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and they just kept the name.
Yeah, that works.
And now New Orleans has the Pelicans. Did you know that?
Nope.
I knew that. All right.
You follow a little, because some of Kentucky players have probably gone to play
there. Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
It all goes back to Kentucky.
AD played there, I believe.
But that's the only reason he knows any NBA stuff.
It's true.
Because they graduated.
I don't follow the NBA. Not a fan.
Kentucky, I believe, at one point had more players in the NBA than any other college. Far and away.
Probably for Utah and New Orleans.
Yeah, probably. All right, coming up in other news with the Ethan. Next hour, we'll talk to Tommy Pigott. He's the RNC Strategic Comms Director about what they're planning next as they get ready to take the reins of power. We'll be back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
So the Grammys are going to be coming up soon, and they have not announced them yet, but history might be made, as there is a possibility that there is going to be an all-female Album of the Year category. So meaning that all the nominees in Album of the Year will be a woman.
Like on purpose?
On purpose.
Like, no, because they want to be gender biased, or because...
No.
Those are the best albums nominated for the year. I mean,
right. We're going to go with the second one.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish is going to be, this is who they think is going to be nominated. Billie Eilish, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, the big three. So we know those guys will be in it. Chappelle Rowan might be, Sabrina Carpenter might be, Charlie XCX might be, Ariana Grande might be.
They're going to probably create a separate category for that. I feel like that's coming down the pipeline.
Maybe.
They have best female artist, best... I mean, they have those other categories, but I could see them creating one just for the album of the year, but for female artists.
It's just ridiculous. You're either the best or you're not.
Do they ask the artist if they want to identify as a woman? Because that's important.
Yeah, I think it is too, Carl.
Do they have like a furry category?
I was just driving down the road the other day listening to Sabrina Carpenter.
Nice.
On purpose?
No, my daughter was in the car and she took control and started playing her music.
Are you a fan?
It wasn't bad, but they all sound the same to me. I told her, what's the difference between this and Olivia Rodrigo or whatever her name is? They're all talking about bad relationships like Taylor Swift. All the songs are about the same stuff, and their voices sound similar. So I wasn't impressed.
Because they're all Disney stars.
Well, whatever, but they all sound the same.
Don't listen to the words of taste.
Okay.
By Sabrina Carpenter.
I appreciate that.
Don't listen to the lyrics of a lot of songs by these artists.
Yeah,
I know, these days.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Ethan.
It looks like Pope Francis accidentally tagged the NFL team, the New Orleans Saints, while posting on X about Catholic Saints just after the team fired their head coach, Dennis Allen.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
His post praised the precious pearls of Catholic Saints by using hashtag Saints, and it triggered the NFL team's logo on his message.
So what 20-year-old in charge of that account is getting reamed
right
now? Yeah,
because you know the Pope. What is he, 80 years old?
He's definitely not doing it himself. Yeah.
Oh, he's definitely doing it.
Hold on, let me fire out this tweet. I got to have something to say.
Just that's how I picture all Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is the only almost 80-year-old that tweets. I can tell you that.
I think he dictates it to somebody else. I mean, I even saw a video of where he's saying what he wants to say, and someone who looks to be about 20 is quickly typing it out. Who has time for all that?
He's like the Energizer Bunny, but go ahead.
You hire people like me. Amazon has launched a new drone delivery service that's in the Phoenix metro area, offering fast delivery for items under 5 pounds from its same-day delivery site. Customers in the area can now receive essential items like beauty products, office supplies, and tech accessories in under an hour. They're using these MK-30 drones, which are quieter and capable of flying twice as far as previous models. So might be coming to a bigger city near you if
so
this works out.
Repeat that last line there about what kind of items they're sending. What's it say?
They are saying beauty products, office supplies.
No, before
supplies.
That, how did you describe those items?
Essential?
Essential?
Essential items.
Makeup
Sorry.
Is essential?
Mark, you need the mascara.
Why aren't
Watch
they where you're going this, Mark.
Why aren't they delivering
shadow?
Alcohol? That's an essential item. Like,
See,
if you're
also,
out of beer,
yeah,
they can drop
it's,
off
it's
a 12-pack on the front
problem.
Porch.
And landing.
Yeah. That's
this is like an episode of Parks and Rec where they had the drone drop things off within an hour, and it's
Horrible
freaky,
idea.
And now we're living it.
Yeah, I know.
DJ Roomba.
Horrible idea.
Death. I love DJ Roomba. DJ Roomba, drop a beat.
What's the matter?
Sorry.
No, I love it. I'm a big
that
part
was something. It's as good as an old man imitation.
Oh, thank you, Sue.
You're welcome.
So you might not have heard about this, but on Sydney, Australia beaches, there have been these mysterious black balls that have been washing up, and apparently it's been solved. They're called fatbergs. And if you want to know what a fatberg is, it's composed of human waste, drugs, hair, fatty acid, and food debris. Apparently
yummy.
They had some sewage mess going on, and it all congealed.
That's
sounds like
lovely.
Oh, it's on the beaches.
Enjoy
the
your breakfast, everyone.
All right, coming up, we'll get to Tommy Pickett from the RNC and former Senator Jim Talent on the tidal wave we saw Tuesday night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.